Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is a gift from you and that your word reveals and shows us who you are. And so, Lord, we pray that as we dive into your word right now, we pray that you will open our hearts and our ears to hear. And will you teach us what you want us to learn from this passage? And help us then, Lord, not to leave just hearing the word, but help us to do your word as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the English language, there are different types of writing which we use to teach lessons. One example is what we call a fable. Now, fables are short, made-up stories that often feature animals or non-living things that have been given human-like abilities of speech and thinking to deliver good moral lessons. You might have heard of some of them, like the tortoise and the hare or the lion and the mouse. There's always some short statement at the end, a very easy lesson to follow. Now, that's one kind of writing in English, and then there are other kinds in what we call parables. So this evening, we will be looking at a very well-known and well-loved parable in the Bible, and the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, we've been studying parables in Easy English Service, so this should be another one to add to your collection of beautiful stories that Jesus has told us. Now, a parable is kind of like a fable, because it teaches us something, but it teaches more than just a simple moral lesson. In fact, Jesus used parables to teach very important truths about the kingdom of God. Jesus also said that he taught in parables to teach the truth to some people, but then hide that very same truth from other people. So let's look at the passage for tonight, and let's see what sort of truths Jesus was trying to teach. We start in verse 9, and we see that Jesus told this parable to people who thought that they were very good before God. And not just that, they saw that they were better than other people. In English, we use the word self-righteous to describe this sort of behavior. Now, the word righteous means upright, moral, virtuous, of good moral standing. In general, we might label a person who keeps the law of God as righteous. There's nothing wrong with being called righteous. And in fact, the Bible places great importance on being righteous. But then when we use the term self-righteous, that actually means something different. Because a self-righteous person tends to think of themselves very highly. And then they think of other people very lowly. They might think that they are more righteous than other people. And so it's to this very self-righteousness that Jesus speaks this parable. The parable begins with two men going into God's temple. The Easy English version says God's house, or God's great house. So the temple, God's house, was a place that the people of God would go to worship God. Now, these two men, they went to pray. The first man that we're introduced to is the Pharisee. The Pharisees were a group of Jews in Israel who went to special schools to be taught the law of God. As one writer puts it, the Pharisees were not political leaders, although they had great political power because they were so highly regarded. Their main interest was to observe the most tiny points or little things of the law. In other words, the Pharisees were very religious Jews who knew God's laws very well and tried to follow it perfectly. They even made up extra laws to add on to God's laws. And they thought that by keeping these laws, they could please God and be accepted by him. The second man to be introduced is the tax collector. In our society, we pay taxes to the government, and we hope that the government will use those taxes to run the country well. Now, in our time, the tax office handles our taxes. There is no one that actually comes down to our door to knock on it and say, hey, please give me some tax. It's all automated. It's done online. But back then, in Jesus' time, there were these people who had jobs to collect taxes. And so we call them tax collectors. But this particular tax collector, these tax collectors, they were Jews. And they were not very liked at all. They were hated by their own people. And here is why. You see, the tax collectors were collecting taxes for the Romans. The Romans were ruling the country. They were the ruling power, the governing authority. And so they sort of had a deal with the Romans that they would collect taxes for the Romans. But often they would set very high fees. And they would repeatedly charge very high fees so that that bit goes to the government and the rest they can keep for themselves. So you can imagine that they were not very popular with the people of Israel. In fact, they were hated. They were seen as traitors. They were despised. So those are the two people that went to the temple. Now, it's important to understand that when they went to pray, they went to pray because they wanted to be right with God. Verse 14 tells us that only one person came out of the temple and was right with God after the prayer. This idea of being right with God is the most important part of the Christian faith. You see, the Bible teaches us that we are by nature sinful people who love ourselves more than we love God. God has a right to punish us for the sins we commit, the bad things we do, because God is a holy God. There is no sin in God. He is perfect, and he does not excuse sin. And so he punishes those who sin. And I hope you now understand that these prayers were very important to those guys. They were not just simple prayers of, God, give me this, give me that. They were trying to get right with God. So let's look at how different those two prayers were. Let's start with the Pharisee. In his prayer, he starts by comparing himself with other people. He says, thank you, God, that I'm different to bad people, different to people who rob others, different to people who have sex with others who are not my wife. I'm not bad like them. I don't do the bad stuff that other people do. I'm better than them. Oh, look, I'm definitely better than that tax collector over there. Those words, bad people, rob, have sex with other women, probably described many of the tax collectors back then. So it just so happens that this tax collector is in a temple for the Pharisee to kind of indicate at in his prayer. But the Pharisee doesn't stop there. He continues, God, thank you. I am not like those bad people. I don't do these bad things. But look at what I do. I fast twice a week. Fasting is to not eat. It's a religious practice to say, God, I'm going to not do something to show my devotion to you, to try and be more devoted to you. I fast twice a week, and I give you 1/10 of everything I receive, money and all. Basically, the Pharisee was saying to God, God, I don't do the bad things, but I do all these good things. He might as well have just patted himself in the back and given God a high five for being such a great person. Now, let's look at the second person, the tax collector. He stood very far away, the text tells us. You can almost picture it. You've got this great temple hall, and right at the front is a section that was raised kind of like this, and it was raised to indicate the presence of God. The Pharisee was probably standing very near the front because he wanted everyone to see how close to God he was. The tax collector, however, did the complete opposite. He probably stayed somewhere near the back where no one could see him. Why would he do that? Well, when I was a student in school, I wasn't really the best student. I might have not done my homework a few times. And when I didn't do my homework, I would feel quite guilty. I know I'm supposed to hand in the homework, but I didn't do it. I spent my time watching this show or just not doing my homework. So guess who the last person I would want to see in the school hall or in the field? I certainly didn't want to see my chemistry teacher or my maths teacher because I knew I still owed them some work. I was guilty. They were the last person I wanted to run across. So you can imagine that this was kind of what the tax collector was feeling. He didn't want to be seen. He wanted to be far away from God because he just felt the weight of sin in his life. He didn't want to see the God whom he knew he had sinned against. And such was his sorrow and his sadness that he hit his chest with his hands. And this was a Jewish practice to express the greatest sorrow and sadness. There is another occasion in the Bible where it's been recorded of people beating their chests, and that was straight after Jesus was crucified. His followers, as you can imagine, were overpowered, overwhelmed, overcome with grief and sadness. And so they beat their chests and they cried. Now this tax collector, he was beating his chest and he was praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what most of our Bibles would say. The Easy English Bible renders it as, be kind to me, I have done many bad things. But I thought I might comment on, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's quite interesting, actually, that it actually could be better translated as, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what the original language uses. So as an English lesson, when we think about the difference between and the, it's like saying, yeah, that's a good car. It's a good car. Versus that's the car. It's saying that is the best. That is the epitome. It's the best example of what a car should be. And everything should be like that car. So when the tax collector says, be merciful to me, the sinner, you can kind of imagine that he's feeling so filled with sin that he feels that no one else can be more sinful than him at this moment. So that he would say, God, I am the greatest sinner. The Apostle Paul actually uses that language elsewhere in the Bible when he says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of them. So the tax collector knew that because of his sin, his bad deeds, he needed God to forgive him. He knew that God could punish him because he truly deserved it. He was bad. He had done many bad things, but he cried out to God to forgive him. He asked God to be kind, to be merciful. Now, when we use the word merciful, it comes from the word mercy. And mercy is the act of showing kindness when kindness is not deserved. I'll give you an example. Let's go back to the car. I loved the car, so I decide to jump into the car that is not mine and steal it. And I go for a ride down the road, and I get caught by the police officer. Now, I'm guilty. I've stolen a car that is not mine, so I know that according to the law, I am guilty. The police officer pulls me up, and then I go, please, officer, be kind. I know I have done wrong, and I'm worthy of being put in jail, but please be kind. I know I don't deserve it, but please be kind. Give me a second chance. And that's what this tax collector was doing. He was asking for mercy. He knew he did not deserve it, but he asked God to be kind to him. So we have two different prayers, two different people. The Pharisee who said, I'm right with God. And the tax collector who, as you can see, said, I'm not right with God. So who was right with God? Well, Jesus tells us that there were two very different prayers, which kind of suggests that there's two very different ways of trying to get right with God. The Pharisee basically assumed that he was right with God through the things that he had done. But the tax collector knew his sin, he knew he was not right with God, and he asked God to show mercy. Jesus tells us that only one man left the temple and was right with God, and that was the tax collector. The Pharisee had not actually made anything right with God. He was still guilty by God's standards. So what's the lesson of this parable? Remember, a fable has a moral lesson, but a parable isn't just like a fable. It's not a simple moral lesson. We can't just pass off this parable and say, oh, we mustn't boast, or we cannot compare ourselves with other people, or show off about the things that we do. You see, generally we don't like people who boast about themselves. We certainly also don't like it when people compare themselves to us and put us down. So what should the people of God expect to learn from this parable? The lesson is very important, and it's this. This concerns our standing before God. The lesson that Jesus wants us to learn is that there is only one way to be right with God. Because by nature, no one is right with God. God alone decides who can be right with him. And he uses a very high, a very perfect standard. So perfect that none of us could even hope to meet that standard. In other words, we are in trouble with God, all of us. And the only way out is if we are rescued from that trouble. In Christian terms, to be right with God is to be saved by God. God saves his people from sin. So the question that must be asked from this parable is this. What must we do to be saved? The Pharisee and the tax collector represent two kinds of people in this world. The first kind of people, like the Pharisee, are those who try to get right with God by doing good things and hope that their works will save them on the very last day. It's like saying, if a lion is chasing a group of people, and you're in that group, it's like saying, well, I don't actually need to be the fastest person to run away. I just have to be faster than someone else. Maybe I'll even trip someone else up so he falls and then the lion will get the person and then I'm fine. You see, the Pharisee or the people who are like the Pharisee try and compare themselves. They say, as long as I'm not as bad as someone else, I should be good with God. The second group of people, like the tax collector, they know that they are guilty. They cannot hide their sin from God because they know that God knows it all. They know they can do nothing to save themselves. Perhaps at one point they did try to keep the law to be right with God. They tried, and then they failed. And then they tried, and they failed again. If their salvation depended on their good works, they know they would be in very deep trouble with God. And so the second group of people depend entirely on God's mercy to save them. They are saying, God, if there is a way out of this, it's only because you are merciful, not because of what I have done. I cannot do anything to make myself right with you, God, but I believe that only you can save me. So, my dear friends, that brings me to you, to us. What kind of person are you? Do you see yourself as a good person? Are you the kind of person who tries to be right with God based on your own good works? Do you say, look at me, God, I don't swear, I don't steal, I don't sleep with other people. Oh, God, look, I go to church every week. I give money to the church. I love my children. I respect my parents. Maybe I go to Sunday school every week. I pray every day. I pray before I eat, God. I pray before I eat. In other words, God, the reason I deserve to be right with you is because I've done all this good stuff. Maybe I've done bad things in the past. Maybe, just like one or two things. But that was a long time ago. Or maybe you might think, yeah, maybe God, I'm still doing some bad things every now and then. But look at all these good things I do for you, God. Surely, surely I must be a good person because of that. Now, if that is you, I pray to God that you will see what a lie you are telling yourself. See, no amount of good works can save you before a holy God. God will judge us all on the final day by one perfect standard, and that is His law. The Bible teaches us that we can try to keep the whole law, but if we fail just one, we fail the whole law. You fail one, and you fail everything. Those who sin are worthy of endless punishment in hell. God's anger will be on them forever and ever. That's a very scary place that I do not wish on any of us. Or maybe you see yourself as the second person. You've done things in the past that you regret. You know you shouldn't have done them. Perhaps it was a sin that everyone knows about. Or maybe it's still a secret sin that no one knows about. Maybe this is still an ongoing struggle every day, every week. You're stuck in this hole of sin and you just can't seem to get out. You're carrying that guilt that just eats away at you and eats away at you. And you're too ashamed to tell anyone. My friend, if this is you, then tonight's message will be sweet music to your ears. You see, Jesus came to save the guilty. He knows that we are all sinners who cannot save themselves. So great was His love that He came to die for sinners so that anyone who believes in Him can be saved. Jesus came to make us right with God. If you are still carrying that weight of sin, that guilt, call out to Jesus, just like the tax collector called out to God, have mercy. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to have mercy. Ask Him to be kind to you. You see, if you feel that that weight of sin is so great, please know that the love of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, is greater than that sin. There is only one way to be right with God, and that is by believing that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins. And if we believe in Him as our Savior, God will forgive us for His sake, and only for His sake alone. My friend, will you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness today? Run to the cross. Find God's love waiting for you in Jesus Christ. But I can assure you that if you don't, be sure that God's anger awaits you. So tonight we've seen that the Pharisee thought that he was right with God because of his good works. The tax collector, on the other hand, called out to God to make him right with God. Now Jesus tells us that only one person went home right, and that was the tax collector. So I finish this with this one pressing question for you today. Are you right with God? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your word, which convicts us of sin. And we thank You, Lord, that Your word does not leave us desperate, but it points us to the glory of Jesus Christ and the cross. We thank You that there is a promise of salvation if we turn away from ourselves and if we look to Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that Your word today may encourage those who need encouraging. And we pray that Your word will work in the hearts of those who still need to call out to You for forgiveness. We thank You for Your promise of the cross. And we ask that You will bless us now with Your word over this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.